See, this is how you should have gotten us. She should have come over and been like, Kevin, Kathy's in the hospital. And you're like, oh, fuck, guys, lock up. And then we're just sitting there like, what happened? You don't text us for like 3 days. You have to take like vacation days at work.
This is an elaborate plan.
And then just be like, yeah, she's dead. Although then you'd have the whole trouble with the funeral because obviously we were buddies. We were going to go to her funeral. So then...
What if it's just a small small funeral?
Small
family
affair.
Family and friends.
Can you still look this up in the newspaper, like funerals?
Yeah, and but then
go to someone else's funeral.
Take pictures?
And No, not take pictures. Be like, and be even more cocky, like invite us to go to the, so it's just like in a random cemetery and we're just like amongst people like, oh, sorry for your loss, and try to get like near the front so it looks like you're part of like the family.
That would be fucked up because you would go up to me and be like, oh man, I'm so sorry, you know, sorry for your loss. And the everyone else at the funeral is like, who the fuck is this guy? How does he know this woman?
Wicked smart, wicked cool, wicked fucking stupid, whatever the fuck, something wicked.
I'm baking like a toast and cheese, it's so hot here!
My boy's wicked smart.
So the boy is hotter than hot. He's hot.
Hot! Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I always chat people at work, like, if they tell me something, I'll go, okay, coo, like COO, because all I think of is Carmen going like, okay, coo. That's, if anyone that's at work that listens to this, that's exactly what I want you to read when I type, okay, coo.
Like the Carmen?
Okay, yeah. As the Sarah coo. That's exactly what I'm trying to convey. Well, on that note, welcome back to Wicked Hot, everybody. Kevin John. We're doing a little bit of a recording early this week. Kevin's going up to Northern AZ for the weekend. Kevin, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'll be doing better when I'm in cooler weather because it is fucking hot. It was 90 degrees today.
Holy shit. It was 32 degrees today, and we almost had a nor'easter that was just diverted. It's great.
Was that like the fourth one?
Yes, it was the fourth one.
Jeez. Must be.
Yeah.
It must be nice living over on the East Coast because I'm a snow guy. I'm a cool guy.
Yeah, I would agree. And you're also probably the first person that's like, four nor'easters? Fuck. You're so lucky. it wasn't the worst, but it definitely sucked for sure. But yeah, so this week, guys, we posted a picture, Instagram picture. I think people guessed it, right? And then also someone just commented with no answer at all.
Nobody did get it right. So we had a couple guesses all wrong. And when I posted this, I really thought it was going to be so easy because it's blatantly obvious what's going on in the background.
What is going on?
So... in the scene over Johnny Depp's right shoulder, so to the far left of the picture, there's just a fucking guy in a white t-shirt and a cowboy hat and sunglasses just standing in the background of this. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So this week, guys, can we go? Were there a lot of guesses? I want to know what the guesses were.
The guesses. Let me see.
Oh, and speaking of which, whilst you're looking that up, I... do remember now when we were talking about last week's episode with the Guardians of the Galaxy, or maybe it wasn't last week, it was the week before.
Yeah.
With the Guardians of the Galaxy, it was Flix Exfried, I believe, which is the one who actually commented that super funny ass response when they were like, when your friend takes the, or when you take the aux cord and you become the DJ for the road trip. So yeah, I believe it was Flix Exfried, so wanted to give shout out and credit to that person.
Yeah, we always give the right answer the shout out, but we'll give maybe the funniest answer the shout out too.
Okay, all right.
So we had two guesses. One of them, actually a good guess, Sunken Franchises.
Okay. we may steal.
Yeah, that might be an episode.
Thank you, Amity 6 official.
And then Johnny Depp's guyliner topic.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. And I said, I commented that that could be a two-part episode.
It could be. Yeah, I feel like once we get down the road, it might get to like more crazy shit that we talk about, such as Johnny Depp's guyliner. But yeah, guys, this week we are doing mistakes, bunch of movie mistakes. Not even like mistakes, like flubs, goofs, continuity issues in like more of a broader sense, not like so much plot driven continuity. But Kevin, I do have this question for you before we start our topic run. Is there really no job on set that keeps track of continuity shit?
Yes.
Because that should be...
There is. They're called the script supervisor, and it's their job to make sure that everything makes sense in edits of the movie. They're on set literally reading the script and marking off like what's going on in the scene. So it's their job.
Okay. But like... I'm saying, like, for, like, drinking and eating and smoking cigarettes. Like, I want every scene, like, whatever time passes by, there needs to be a cigarette burning within that time or someone eating stuff and drinking drinks.
See, what I'm curious as, like, you see, like, huge AAA title movies, like, crazy expensive movies. Yeah. And... there's a scene where there's one glass of water in the scene. Like, that's their job, is to look at this glass of water. How does it get so fucked up where it just doesn't match? That's an easy fix right there.
Yeah, no, 100%. All right, guys, so movie mistakes. I will say I think mine are very much continuity rather than, like, stupid things that just I kind of pointed out, like, with, like, the Johnny Depp and the cowboy hat stuff. But my flub is one that we saw pretty recently, actually, in Game of Thrones. Now, it's not for Game of Thrones, but I just want to give a little shout-out because my flub is in Braveheart, and there is clearly...
Wait, it's in Braveheart and Game of Thrones?
Yes, both in Braveheart and Game of Thrones.
Wow.
There is a clearly visible white car. Yes. I said white car in the background of the charge at the Battle of Stirling. Now, that's the first big battle within the Braveheart movie where they win. When the cavalry is charging towards the Scots, there's a white sedan that can be seen in one of the, like, the final shots where they're, like, about to, like smash into their lines. That's just chilling there.
I think I know what happened. I think one of the warriors was late to the march and he's like, fuck, I can't walk all the way there. I gotta take the car.
Or take the Uber. Take the Uber to Battlefield. Stirling Battlefield, please. So the white car, actually, that wasn't the first time it showed up. The white car shows up again during, I don't know if I have the character's name right, but Merrin. I keep seeing mutton. I'm seeing it's Merrin, but I keep seeing mutton. So, like, deer meat.
Is it deer meat? I thought it was like.
Is it mutton deer meat? Venison and mutton, I think, are the same thing.
Okay. For some reason, I'm thinking it's like lamb, some type of lamb.
It could be. Any hunters, let us know that watch this show. Yeah. So, Merrin, William Wallace's wife. Car shows up at her funeral.
It's sheep.
Oh, it is sheep. Oh, yeah, fuck. Sheep. Well, sheep, deer, same shit. But yeah, so the car can be seen again during her funeral. When Mel Gibson goes to kiss her, lifts his head back up, the white car can be seen driving in the background.
Driving in the background?
Yeah, this time it was driving. It reminds me, it was like a possessed, like, death. Like, what was the fucking Death Proof car that just kills people and then shows up at the funeral just, like, taunting you?
Maybe it's like, I have a little conspiracy theory here. Because you know when you see, like, old pictures or something and it's, like, a family portrait And then in the background, there's just like this fucking figure, like this ghost.
No,
you've never heard of this type of thing.
No.
Oh my god, it's pretty common. Like you look at old pictures.
Every old picture.
No, God, no.
Okay, that's what you made it seem like. In old pictures, general, there's always a figure.
No, there's. It happens more in older pictures, or you see it more often in older pictures. Okay. But you see this figure. It's like Braveheart is the old picture, and the car is like
the fucking figure.
Ghost of a car. And it's just in these random random scenes.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to go with that, but...
I'm going with that.
Okay. It seems like there was a big production issue during this movie where they just have people just like... They're like filming this in a Scottish parking lot. And they're just like, oh, shit. All right. Car, 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 car. And then everyone's got to like stop... You know, we used to do that when your friends.
It's like Wayne's World in the neighborhood. Yeah. And they're playing hockey in the street. Car come in and they take the goal up, put it back. Yeah, I mean, it's that movie is not that old to where they couldn't have like digitally taken that out.
Oh, I thought you meant like it wasn't that old where like cars couldn't exist. I'm like, dude, come on.
No, Jesus. No, so that means that. First of all, the camera operator missed it, the DP missed it, and then everybody in editing missed it because this could have been fixed.
It could have been. And they could have even like decreased the frame. Because it's a little like the first one that I was talking about, the first white car, it's when it's like in the bottom left corner shot of a charge. Like they could easily have cropped out that bottom corner for this shot.
Yeah, it had to have been missed.
Unless, and this is what I think was going on with this movie mistake, it could have just been about a bunch of people LARPing the Scottish War of Independence. And if people don't know what LARP is, I had to look it up because I remember from, it was in that one movie with Sean William Scott and McLovin, and it means live action role play. So maybe the movie is about like Scottish people live action role playing the Scottish War of Independence, and there's just like normal cars. I'm like, oh, look at these guys. That was an Irish accent, I think.
The movie was initially supposed to be like a LARP movie, but it was edited to take all of that shit out. So like maybe the director's cut has all the cars and everyone's mom in the background.
So the Mel Gibson cut? Yeah, maybe. I think it could easily have been that. I'll go with that one, yes.
Okay, I'm still going with ghost theory.
Okay.
Possessed car? I'm going with
ghost,
that.
Possessed car, and live-action role-playing. Got it. All right, man, so what do you have for me?
So this first one here is one of the most iconic movies ever, and there's a glaring mistake that I noticed when I saw this movie when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
And it has stuck with me ever since, and it just pisses me off. So it's Jurassic Park, first off.
Oh my god.
Love the movie. Hate this scene. It's like the iconic scene where the trucks are stopped in front of the T-Rex paddock.
Okay.
So we see the T-Rex come up, eats the goat, and it's like ground level. There's no drop off, there's no nothing. So the T-Rex goes through the thing and eventually Sam Neill and the kid rappel down this fucking waterfall that was just ground level with the T-Rex.
Okay, can I honestly, I have to agree with you, and when I was a child watching this, in my like dumb child brain, I was like, well, the T-Rex is like Godzilla, so like for them it's a lot to rappel, but for the T-Rex that was just like a little like curb that he had to step over.
Yeah.
Which that in my stupid demented brain, that's how I try to justify as like, you know, a fucking 4 year old, 5 year old, all the way to even like maybe a couple years ago, justify that scene every time. I'm like, fuck, where is the goddamn drop off?
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking, I'm trying to find ways to debunk this. So like, I'm thinking maybe it is ground level.
Maybe I was going to say deleted scene where there's a sinkhole.
No, maybe it is ground level. And they, where they enter is a little bit like to the right or to the left. And there happens to be like a fucking waterfall or something or a huge cliff.
Dude, but that's like a sheer like drop. It's not even like an incline. Like, yeah, that's a cliff.
Yeah, it would have to be like a straight up cliff.
Right.
But this has been a known thing for a while. So I don't know. Nobody's like Steven Spielberg never came out and said like there's a cliff. I think he literally said like it's only like to build suspense. Like I knew like it didn't make sense.
Like, so he didn't give a fuck. He's like, continuity wise, I'm just going to make it like they teleport to some other thing.
Pretty much. Yeah. It doesn't stop the movie from being amazing, but it is one of those things that I watch and I just cringe at because it's so, I don't know. It's so like in your face, like, hey, you idiot, this was ground level. I need you to buy that. It's a fucking cliff now.
Right.
And you do, cause it's such a good movie, but it's like, damn it. I wish it wasn't like that.
I think they need to come out with a spinoff movie that describes that very scene. Like, it's like about the building of Jurassic Park. It's just like a construction worker movie, because that's a huge genre. And they're like, man, building this one thing. Hey, let's just build this giant dam. Maybe the T-Rex thing was next to a dam. It looked like a dam wall.
It did look like a dam wall. Yeah, I want to see the construction worker version of that movie because, I mean, well, maybe the next Jurassic World. You know how they went back to the old park for a few minutes? Maybe they'll hit the T-Rex paddock and we'll see the fucking 90-degree cliff that's right next to where they are.
Yeah, I need like a like they're at the base of that. So, and with like a left-hand shot so I can see to the left of it where I'm assuming is where like the T-Rex came, because the T-Rex came from, if you're looking toward like on the street and you're looking towards the gate, he comes from the right and he slides the car a little bit more to like the left. Right. I guess.
Yes.
So then technically, like if we were on the bottom of the giant dam wall and we're getting like a shot where we could see the left-hand side, we could see if there's actually like a cliff there. And like maybe that was just like the very, very tip of the T-Rex paddock.
Yeah, that's the only way I will believe that this was not just like a big fuck you. Here's this yeah. huge glaring continuity issue.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to have a Jurassic World 3 for sure. So I think we'll have that question answered.
Probably. Yeah, I bet.
Ooh, what if Jurassic World 3 Sam Neill came back? Like he did for Jurassic Park 3.
No, that won't make the movie any better.
I doubt that the second one's going to be any good. It looks terrible. All I can say is hold on to your butts, because my next mistake is one. And I know I'm kind of like stretching a little bit, but mine is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the 1970s version. And my biggest mistake that's just never explained, another continuity issue, is that Charlie's I keep saying uncle, but it's his grandpa. Grandpa Joe is a lying asshole.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
If you remember the plot of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, again, 70s version, not the creepy Tim Burton one.
That creepy Tim Burton one is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Charlie's a poor kid, can't afford shit, as most poor people can't. but we're not talking about Charlie's financial situation. Instead, I want to talk about how Charlie's grandpa bought him the candy bar that got him the golden ticket to be able to go to the Wonka tour. Now, keep in mind, Charlie's grandpa is paralyzed.
No, he's not paralyzed, scientifically speaking.
I thought he was bedridden, just... and there's even a song about it, Kevin.
I thought it was just he was bedridden. I didn't think that it ever said he was literally paralyzed.
I mean, either way, like, he was like a lazy fuck. If he could, like, the mom is like working 50 jobs and feeding all these people, and Grandpa Joe is just fucking chilling.
Yeah, he's got the life. She's going to work, and he's like, you could see he's just like getting out of bed, fucking going for a run or something, and then like she's about to come home from her first job, and he jumps back in bed.
It's funny because at the end of that like whole song and dance, when Charlie found I got the golden ticket, of course at the end, Grandpa Joe suddenly is able to walk for no reason other than the fact that he's a fucking lazy shit and doesn't want to get a job, so he just pretends to be paralyzed until a chance to get to the Wonka factory arrives. But I will say, before this beautiful dance slash song routine happens, guy had to purchase the candy bar at the store, right? That's something that I guess story-wise was overlooked. Maybe they were candy delivery drivers.
Oh, yeah. He said that he bought it, right?
He did buy it. He said he purchased it.
Oh, okay.
So is there like a Grubhub for candy bars back in like the 70s?
It's just a... I don't know why. My brain just flashed back to 1870s and they were on a fucking carriage. But no, it was the 1970s.
Yeah.
I don't think there were any candy delivery people. Okay. That motherfucker. And why didn't his wife or the mom be like, hey, how the fuck did you get that if you've been in bed all day?
Yeah, by the way, there's Grandpa Joe must be like a bully towards the, because there's three people in that bed. Four people, but three other people excluding Grandpa Joe. So he must bully those three. Be like, you better fucking shut up. Don't say anything. So this is what I know. But like, as far as, again, my movie mistake, where I know they explain how he got the money. But where, like, was the explanation to how he got his sick ass out of bed? And my question to you is, true villain of Willy Wonka instead of Slugworth? Because Slugworth, we know, ends up being the good guy.
So there's not, I guess there isn't really a villain. Unless you're like, yeah, Willy Wonka maybe could be, because he kills a bunch of kids. Yeah, maybe Grandpa's 1A in that scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just the asshole grandpa that's not helping out his daughter in a time of need. Yeah, what are your thoughts like on this movie mistake?
I honestly never really thought about that, but it makes the scene where he jumps out of bed, if that's the way that you think it went down, yes, the scene where he jumps out of bed so much more funny, because Charlie gets this like free trip to the chocolate factory, and he coincidentally gets to bring a guest. Yeah. And he, as soon as like something of value is up for grabs, he's like, fuck, I'm in. It's a miracle. I can walk now.
Yep. Grandpa Joe, now I'm just thinking of like those sleazy like uncles or grandpas that always like come and they're like telling about business ideas, like, hey, I got this idea. He's like a swindler, like a really shitty con man.
He's selling like the fucking knives that you sell like door to door, like the rock. Like, I don't even know what they're called, but knives, like Sensi's. He's selling he's got a fucking Avon business.
Yeah, he's definitely, yeah. Well, Grandpa Joe definitely did that. And then he somehow broke his legs or got paralyzed. So now he can't do that stuff anymore. Cool. So Willy Wonka mistake, all set. So Grandpa Joe may have been lying about a sickness, but your next guy definitely had the sickness, and by the sickness I mean he's got the AIDS.
He's literally got AIDS. Yes, this is good segue, by the way.
Thank you.
This is, yeah, Dallas Buyers Club. So the movie was released in 2013. Takes place in 1985.
Okay.
This movie features one of my favorite cars ever. I love these cars.
Okay.
It's a Lamborghini Aventador. But you know what's funny? The car actually wasn't introduced until 2011. So at one point in the movie, Matthew McConaughey's character is in his office at the motel. And behind him, there is a big fucking poster of a Lamborghini Aventador, like, plastered behind him.
What?
And, like, we go back to the script supervisor thing. This is clearly a set. This is not a motel office.
Yeah.
It's a set. Somebody had to have put this Lamborghini Aventador poster in the scene. Like, how did nobody fact check that this car was not around in 1985 when the movie takes place?
So I'm always thinking of, have you been to a car show before?
I have, yes.
Okay, so you know how they have, like, those cars that you know will never exist and are, like, 50 years, like...
The concept cars.
Right. I'm thinking that he may have gone to one of these shows in Dallas, and he's like, I like that Aventador. It's very cool. And then he got himself one of the posters, because I know on those car shows, they give out a bunch of free, like, garbage swag.
Oh,
and maybe
yeah.
that poster was there. He saw the car, you know, almost fucking 30 years later, or 30 years prior, and there you go.
That does,
mystery solved.
That does actually make sense, but the Aventador in the picture is like a specific edition from 2014. It's like...
I thought you said 11.
Well, the car came out in 2011. They're still making it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the car wasn't actually introduced to market until 2011, but they're actually still producing the cars.
Okay, cool.
So it's like a specific version of this year's model, and somehow it made it into the movie that takes place in 1985.
Nice. Well, maybe that's the version that he saw as a concept, and eventually the one time in any car show or any car's, like, idea, like life, ideas, life, it was made into a real car.
I think
so. That's where one movie predicted the future.
I think they need to. There needs to be a deleted scene of Matthew McConaughey being like, "Oh yeah, that poster right there. I got that at the 1984 car show."
Again, yeah, that's just one thing that just needs to be in there. I would completely agree with that.
I understand why they cut that for time, but continuity wise, I would have liked to have. Have seen.
You think that would have gone away? I can't even imagine, like, because this movie is... I've actually never seen Dallas Buyers Club, but I imagine it's very depressing.
It is very depressing, yes.
And if the director was like, now never mind all of these, like, Oscar-y type, you know, elements of my movie, we need to explain that poster. And I think as a character, it'll make Matthew McConaughey a little bit more likable. And he goes to car shows and picks up the free swag. We've all been there. That would be honestly me relating more to Matthew McConaughey's blight in the movie. Be like, damn, I go to car shows too.
You know what's funny is as a kid, I went to a car show and got a poster of a 1994 Dodge Viper that I had in my room. So everybody does. If you go to a car show, you have some type of stupid poster at some point in your life from a ridiculous car that you could never afford.
Right. And, well, actually, so I had a poster of a car I was able to get, which was, I had a poster of a Mitsubishi Eclipse in 2006. And almost 4 years later, ended up getting it. So, dreams do come true. So, Matthew McConaughey, you could have kept working, and you may have gotten that Lamborghini. Obviously, Matthew McConaughey probably can't afford it. I'm just talking about, like, the Dallas Buyers Club character.
Well, he dies of AIDS. So he's probably not getting a Lamborghini. He's probably still very dead.
Oh, God. Well, we can't all win, right?
You either die of AIDS or you get a Lamborghini. You can't have both.
Exactly. So Matthew McConaughey had his car. And you know what? My next topic, these guys could have had a car. And I'm talking about the DeLorean. But before that, I'm going to say Pirates of the Caribbean is my next topic. Not the one that was covered in the Instagram post. But mine, again, is more of like a, just like it was overlooked, an overlooked thing. Now, I'm one for historical accuracy, and I know Pirates of the Caribbean is definitely not that.
It's not, I mean, but it still needs to have
it does
correct period stuff.
It does. It's got skeleton pirates and a bunch of fantasy elements, but it's still like we can't forget this movie is technically a period piece because it exists within the supposed real world during a real time, right?
True.
So my movie mistake is that the British Redcoats have repeating rifles rather than period-appropriate flintlock muskets.
Are those the ones that you jam the thing down the hole to reload?
So that's the ones they should have.
Okay.
What they really have, I'm talking about like,
they have like AK-47s the Winchester, and shit.
the Winchester rifle, the one that you just like lever action, just like pop, pop.
Oh, like
pop,
the cowboy pop. One, yeah.
Yes, like the cowboy one. So Norrington says that this is the day that Captain Jack Sparrow almost escaped, when it's really the day that his men had rifles that weren't introduced until 1860s.
So do you know what time period it's supposed to take place?
Yes, actually. So this actually makes the weapons that the Redcoats are having or carry on them more than 140 years old. Considering the writers, and I looked this up, the writers that said the Curse of the Black Pearl was set loosely around 1720.
Okay.
Also, by the way, when I looked at Pirates of the Caribbean, what year Pirates of the Caribbean takes place, Google just showed me 2003. So technically, they can all just be LARPing in Jamaica. Seems like a theory that checks out with almost every movie we've covered.
Yeah, the answer is always they were LARPing, even with Dallas Buyers Club. He was LARPing AIDS.
God, what spell possessed him with that? Well, in any case, I know I'm really reaching here with the guns used in Pirates of the Caribbean, but if you're going to have cannons and period piece clothing, you can't go steampunk on me and have red coats popping off multiple shots a minute rather than loading per shot like muskets should.
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly where that scene is, but I can like just think
it's like when he kidnaps Keira Knightley.
That's, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm thinking like just seeing like a red coat using one of those guns, like it just won't make sense.
Because right.
They've never used those guns. They weren't even around when those guns were invented.
Yeah. So they don't actually use the exact model gun, but the way the gun operates that they have, you just see them like just shooting. Like,
oh,
like,
okay.
They're not like loading at all. So they're shooting like multiple. I probably should have made it like they're not actually with the lever action, just like bop, bop.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like 1880s Winchesters for a 1730s movie.
Oh my god, I could the writers who did this next movie were probably like, all right, how about we have the first explorers of America, but they got AKs. That's basically
and you just
how
see it
go.
With like these fucking tactical like ARs scopes. Like fucking scopes rails on them, like painted in camo, and they're just like red coats using those.
That would be amazing. You know, it's funny. This actually reminds me of Battlefield 1. Again, that's the video game that takes place in World War I for people that aren't gamers. Almost all of the weapons that are in that game were experimental and never used in the war. So you're basically like going Rambo or like Commando style with like an AK during trench warfare.
I think there was a reason those guns weren't used, is they were shit.
Yeah.
At the time. And just in Battlefield 1, you're just like some hero that gets all the fucking
yeah, all
prototype
the
guns. I'm surprised they never jam.
Yeah. But yeah, so the whole gun situation in Pirates of the Caribbean, like, that just completely takes it out, like, takes me out of it, which is funny because it's fantasy, but like, for one thing that can easily be like fixed, they just were like, no, they're gonna just pop off a million shots a minute.
Is it one of those types of movies where the magazine or the amount of bullets in the gun is just unlimited?
Oh, could be. Like, they have like the cheat code or something?
Yeah, you know, like The Matrix, I think, did that. Most movies do that, where they have like a Glock that holds 11 bullets and they shoot like 25 times out of it. I'm wondering if in the movie there's a guy just like constant, just fucking full auto, just spraying everybody.
Yeah. I mean, so I really wish that movies would take this more into consideration. And honestly, I could see this totally happening in like Deadpool or something, where he has like a clip that's literally like to the ground. Like, it's like a 4-foot clip, and it's just like cut, you know, as many rounds. I mean, I know like a drum magazine is more, it makes more sense, but imagine just like,
no, it has to be
Glock,
a
Glock with like a 4-foot clip.
I could totally see that being a Deadpool thing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's a lot of people's fault that they fucked that gun up, unless they really wanted to use it. Because like if you think about it, like the prop master is the guy procuring all the props or that has the props.
Right.
So he like handed them to him, and why weren't they just like, these are not the right guns?
Right.
That's the script supervisor's job. Like, she or he should have been like, yeah, that's not, no, we're not using,
yeah, it's not period
fucking
appropriate.
Winchester, 1880 Winchester.
It would be better if they were like shooting, you know, like when they spin like the rifle,
yeah, like
to load it.
Yeah.
They're all like, everyone's just spinning. There's just like a bunch of rifles spinning, popping off shots. Yeah. So, my guys had red coats, and your guy has a red suit, which is the dumbest segue I could even think of.
That was a segue.
It was one. It was the definition of a segue, yes.
It was. Yeah, so mine is Spider-Man. Not your favorite Andrew Garfield one.
Oh, fuck that guy.
It's the Tobey Maguire one, which I guess is okay. The holy grail for Spider-Man for you.
Yeah, well, I like Tom Holland, but yeah, Tobey Maguire, I mean, come on. No one plays a 30-year-old in high school better than he does.
That is true. So, in Spider-Man 1, this is actually a less known error that they actually fixed in Spider-Man 2. The same thing happens.
Oh, nice.
They fixed the issue.
Okay, cool.
But that actually only makes the first one stand out a lot more. So in Spider-Man 1, when Peter gets his powers or whatever, and in the morning he goes to put on his glasses.
Yes.
So when he goes to put on his glasses, it's blurry.
Okay.
So he puts on his glasses, the entire screen is blurry, and it's like first person with the glasses on.
Right, yes.
So the whole screen, as it should be, just what he's seeing out of the glasses should be blurry. Everything else should be clear.
Right.
So Spider-Man 1, the entire thing is blurry, and apparently there were the fans of this were very vocal about it being okay. A huge or a blatant issue. So, Spider-Man 2, and apparently the director put this in just to, like, make these people happier, like, just to say, like, hey, I hear you. So when he goes to put on his glasses in the second one, the exact opposite, it's actually blurry inside of his glasses and clear outside of his glasses. So he did fix the issue. But still, in Spider-Man, I mean, I could see...
Wait. I don't see what the problem is.
So the first one, when he puts on the glasses, it's in first person. So you see putting on the glasses. The entire screen, though, is blurry. So not just what he's seeing out of the glasses. So if you think about it, like...
Oh, so like outside of the frame.
Yeah.
Like of the frame, like not of like the film frame, but like... Of the glasses frame.
The glasses frame, yeah.
Because the glasses frames are still in the film frame, correct?
Correct.
So it's like, it blinded him.
Yeah, like it just destroyed his vision.
Okay.
And I know, look, me and you both wear glasses. I'm nearsighted. So if I'm looking like outside of my glasses, everything is blurry.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
That's how it should be in Spider-Man. And they...
Wait, why was he putting on his glasses again in the second one?
Oh,
right, because he starts to kind of like losing his
power. Yeah, he's like losing his power, so he does put them on.
Yeah.
So that's how they fixed it, but it's still like, it's definitely, if you'd never noticed it in the first one, and you kind of watch them back to back, you'll definitely notice it.
Shit, yeah, this is something I've never noticed. Maybe because of being a glasses guy, I'm like, I feel you. I wasn't like nitpicking, I'm like, he's not really fucking blind.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm blind, that motherfucker isn't blind.
So, kudos to Sam Raimi for fixing that. I thought you were going to say it was like an issue with like the character, because I know Sam Raimi is like a huge Spider-Man person. That's why he helmed the series. And I thought you were going to say like, oh, there was something wrong with the character. It's like, no, people are just mad because, again, us four-eyeds, we get very sensitive about how glasses people are portrayed on film.
Exactly. They're like, don't invite us to a 3D movie and don't fuck up how it's done in the movie.
And don't tell me how I can see out of my own eyes. Oh, man. But yeah. That's actually kind of a thing. I've never noticed that before. So I'm definitely going to have to revisit that. Because I thought like once he puts it on, it's like completely like I'm looking through the glasses.
No, the frames are still in the shot. I guess they could have gone back and just like edited those out.
Yeah, they could have.
I'm sure they did that in post. So that would have had to have been the editors or the effects people.
All right, so Spider-Man. Like now, you mentioned before, my favorite Spider-Man of all time, Andrew Garfield. Just kidding. That's a complete lie. funny enough, though, my next guy or movie starred the guy that was in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Probably one of the worst movies ever, as Electro, and that is Jamie Foxx in Django Unchained.
Gaptooth Electro.
Yeah, Gaptooth Electro. Electricity fixes teeth. We know this. I'll just say it right off the bat. Mine is another historical inaccuracy that was overlooked, although it definitely added a cool factor to the character Django. And my thing is the fact he wore sunglasses. Django sports something hadn't even been invented. Well, I mean, that's not true. It'd been invented, but not in America yet. So he's got sunglasses, pretty stylish sunglasses too. Not in line with what was available during that time.
Were they like some Ray-Bans or something?
No, so they weren't like a specific brand, although it would have been funny if they were Ray-Bans. Like you just see Ray-Ban on like one of the lenses.
Yeah.
So when I was first of all, before we even get into like this sunglasses thing, when I was researching sunglasses in America, I found something interesting that apparently a colloquial quote-unquote American term for sunglasses, per Wikipedia, they're known as sun cheaters or cheaters.
In America. I feel like that was written by somebody who doesn't live in America. I'm 30 years old and have never heard that phrase.
Sun
until
cheaters.
Now.
You know that's what I'm calling them from now on.
That sounds like maybe that was somebody who lives in like Long Beach and surfs all day that wrote that. Like, yeah, maybe you call them that, but nobody else in America does.
Oh, like when you're like surfing or whatever, you can't wear sunglasses because that's like an advantage.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can see how wearing sunglasses is an advantage, but everyone fucking can wear sunglasses. It's not a performance enhancing drug.
like you're getting tested for like all the drugs and shit.
You know what it could be is you're getting for like the tan lines on your hair from like lack of getting sunlight. Do you get those? So like turn your head. Let me see that. Let me see those sunglass marks. We got a cheater, sun cheater over here, sun cheater over here.
Yeah, it's definitely a surfing thing. I've never heard it. in my life.
Yeah. It's the dumbest thing ever. The fact that they were, it's like known as Sun Cheaters or Cheaters. Never heard anyone ever say, yo, let's go to Cheater Hut.
Oh, man.
Anyway, but in any case, so the fact, all right, Django Unchained. The fact that he had sunglasses isn't really the worst thing. But the fact that he's in America with sunglasses is.
He's just so, ahead of the curve. He got his shit from, where was it? Like Switzerland or something?
Yeah. No, I thought you were going to say Cheater's Hut. No. So the sunglasses, never mind the ones he had on, weren't introduced to America until 1929.
Damn, that's way later than I would have thought.
Yeah, by Sam Foster. And if you don't know who Sam Foster is, he's the guy who came up with the company Foster Grant that used the promo, Who's Behind Those Foster Grants, featuring a bunch of actors in like the 70s and 80s, I guess. But I didn't know this, so I'll be a little bit more forgiving considering that Django wears sunglasses at night, which, you know, instantly either makes you look like the biggest douchebag in the world or totally awesome. And totally awesome is the case for Django.
It's always douchebag unless it's Django. And you know the funny thing?
Or Django or Terminator.
Or Terminator, yeah. Those are the only two exceptions. But I just got my first pair of prescription sunglasses ever.
Yeah.
And I hate switching glasses. So I am like constantly walking into stores just wearing my sunglasses. And I bet people think that I'm the... like a fucking huge douche.
Dude, okay. At least you have the option to take it off. Like, I have transitions in my glasses.
I do, so, too. So, like... I do, too.
When I go into, like... But mine get, like, wicked dark. Like, they look like sunglasses.
Mine do, too. I have the darkest one that you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it takes forever to go away. So, I'm, in the store with fucking sunglasses. I'm like, no, I promise. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
I feel like at one point, and this is, like, always in the back of my mind, when I walk into a store with my prescription sunglasses on and I don't take them off, that somebody is going to, like, call me on it and I'm going to have to explain. Even though, like, I'm a grown-ass man. I can wear glasses wherever I want.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I'm, like, having this argument with myself about explaining about why they're prescription sunglasses.
Oh, man. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on sunglasses on Django in Django Unchained?
I know there's a lot of historical inaccuracies in Django Unchained, so it doesn't bother me at all.
No.
It honestly makes his character a lot cooler. Like, it's Terminator and then Django and then nobody else.
Right. And so, like, historical inaccuracies, like, they bother me. But for this movie, they don't. Because it's a Tarantino movie. And I feel like the more mistakes, the better, because it's so ridiculous as is.
That's why it never, like, the Kill Bill thing. I'm not a fan of Kill Bill, but, like, the ridiculousness of the movie, I was never, like...
This is so unrealistic.
I was never put off by it because I know it was a Tarantino movie and it was meant to be that ridiculous. Same with Django.
Right. Right. No, 100%. Yeah. I love the little circular sunglasses, the cowboy hat, the giant, like, fucking, like, foot-long cigarette, the cigarette holder. I mean, that's just the stuff that made him baller. Speaking of which, I actually need to fucking rewatch that movie because I feel like I haven't seen that movie in so long and it's really, really good.
His outfit in that movie is just... like the best wardrobe choice ever they could have put in this movie. Like, it's hilarious.
The wardrobe choices in, and by the way, idea for an episode, wardrobes of different movies. But like the wardrobe of like everyone in that movie was great.
Yeah. I loved when Django got to pick out his own outfit and just picked out the most ridiculous gaudy thing he could have picked out.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, cool. Well, let's go ahead and hear your last topic, man, and we'll wrap things up.
So my last one, I actually never caught this, but apparently it's like all throughout the movie.
Okay.
It's Full Metal Jacket. So apparently he shot this in England, and it's supposed to take place in America, obviously. Well, the first half of the movie.
Wait, even the Vietnam scenes were
in
England?
The first half of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Not the Vietnam stuff. That doesn't take place in America.
I'm like, damn.
So the movie is shot in England, but takes place in America. And throughout the movie, they're like going on these jogs or these runs that normal army people do.
Whoa, they're Marines.
And there's just like British markings like all over the road.
Like what, like the flag?
No, there's like road markings, like okay. like British road markings, stuff that we don't have in America.
What's a British road marking look like?
One of it kind of looked like the Bluetooth symbol.
Really?
Yeah.
This is when you're listening to the Bluetooth lane, so we know you're an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's others, but there's markings like all throughout the movie.
So like not American. Like, do they have arrows and stuff in England?
They do.
Like, you know, like the turn arrow or the straight arrow.
But there's a, like their speed limit sign looks different than all of ours. So theirs is, obviously theirs is in KPH.
Okay.
So there's actually a couple other things that like stand out about it being shot in England.
Okay.
So the helicopters that they use in the movie are supposedly supposed to be Sarkovsky H-34s.
Okay.
And they're using a British knockoff of those helicopters. So if you were ever like in the military, you would notice that this is not the proper helicopter.
That's like the British variant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Another scene is
pretty overlooked.
It is, yeah.
Like Kubrick probably didn't give a fuck. He's just like, we're in England, I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's weird that he didn't just shoot the movie in America.
Yeah, that is very strange.
So the barracks that they shoot in is called Bassingbourne Barracks.
That's British as fuck.
It is, yeah, that's a British-ass name. But it's supposed to be Paris Island during the boot camp scene.
Okay, so South Carolina is England.
And apparently this company, Beck and Gas Works, is like in some of the scenes shot in Vietnam. So it's like clearly a set, or it's like a part of England that
has like tropical
trees.
Where in England are there fucking palm trees?
I have no idea. And it would have to have been a set.
Yeah, have to have been. So all of this was filmed, like not one thing was like in studios in America.
No, it was all shot in England.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty
That's
crazy.
Fucking
it's,
crazy.
It's a lot of, I like to call them in-your-face mistakes, because it's like, we don't give a fuck. This road's marked with British shit. Like, we're going to run over it anyways and film it and like not even try to cover it up. I'm not a fan of those mistakes. Like, I can deal with the Quentin Tarantino ones where it's just like ridiculous.
Right.
But this type of stuff
is lazy.
Easily been fixed. Yeah, it's just like really lazy.
Yeah.
It bugs me.
Yeah, I don't know why people wouldn't think like to like cover that up or like on the road. I don't know. I feel like they could have painted over it, honestly.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, not legally, but they could have.
Or put some, I don't know, put some American
carpet.
Put some carpet on the roads. They probably could have just put some gray carpet over it and just,
yeah,
that would have looked like road.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Or they could have just put like AstroTurf or something. Or get this, how about not filming that part of the fucking road?
Yeah, I'm sure there's not British signs all over every square inch of the,
unless it's a British thing. Could be.
Maybe.
Like, all the signs are on the road. Like, there's no actual signs that are built, like, as signs. Like, a stop sign is on the road. A mile marker is on the road. A, like, exit sign is on the road. Like, the airport, like, a minutes to the airport is on the road. So they, like, mark, like, minute 8, minute 7.
It's just a guy that, like, runs out with chalk and just, like, changes the number of minutes.
It's just like a giant square in the road, and he has to like go out there, do like Frogger, and like change it before the next car comes. They're like, ah, shit. Fuck. 15 minutes now.
somebody hits the guy and they have to come out and like change the number to like some astronomical amount because he's
right, because it's rush hour now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's pretty much how the Stanley Kubrick thing should have gone, is they should have just repaved or covered up the paint.
Or just shot the thing in South Carolina like they should have.
Yeah, they really should have. Or anywhere else in America. I mean, come on. Or they could have made, yeah, I would agree with you. They could have made like some America shit.
They could have made it more American.
I don't know how you can make make it more American by just fucking like painting over it. Or
yeah,
how old is that movie? Is it 80s?
85, I think. 87
or 85. They definitely could have removed it digitally.
Right? No, I don't think they could have.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That would have been tough.
Or they could have just like cut the frame so it's like them running and then it like stops and it cuts and they're just like in a different part, completely different background. Like, we're on the same road. Just pretend we're on the same road.
It would have been better for them to just get tight shots and not get like huge, like,
down. Yeah, but that's, isn't that Kubrick? That's like his thing, right?
It is, yeah.
It's very like cinematic.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. So before we close things up, Kevin, I have a question for you. So this one's a pretty interesting one. I would say, what is your most bothersome mistake, food or drink?
Oh, God, drink. 100% drink.
Okay. Normally, my response would also be drink, but and I'm just going to do this as an honorable mention because in Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts has shape-shifting food, and by that I mean like she has a whole croissant, then she has a whole pancake, then she has a bitten pancake, then she has a bitten croissant, then she has a full croissant. It's like this, the food, they just couldn't make up their mind. They were just like going to the catering table. They're like, all right, give her this, feed her that. And she's just getting like a bunch of random assortment. Next thing, she has a banana. It just doesn't make sense.
That's funny. So they originally shot it with a croissant and the
it became a fucking pancake. She was eating a pancake with her hands like a goddamn animal.
Yeah, like the catering guy was like, fuck, we have no more croissants. We got to reshoot this scene. Get him a pancake.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. All right, cool, guys. So yeah, let us know movie mistakes that you guys could have thought of or that you wish we would have covered and your thoughts on them. Did you like them? Did you not like them? But in any case, if you did stick around, thank you so much. If you could go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. And you know, even throw us a review. You know, we like reading the reviews. We like seeing what's up with you guys, what your thoughts are on the episode. And if you want to stay up to date with any news or updates, guess on the next picture for the topic, you can go ahead and do that by following us at Wicked Hot Talk on both Twitter and Instagram. And of course, give us a subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. And also, Kevin, I think we have a little bit of announcement. Because next month is April, so I guess we'll kind of tell you. Obviously, this week is the last week of March, so for the first episode in April, we're actually going to do a Wicked Hot Marvel Month for the release of Infinity War. Kevin has finally decided to get back into movies and go to the movies to see Black Panther, and hopefully he will also see Infinity War within a reasonable time.
I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, probably not. But we got a lot of cool content, Marvel-themed content, for the month of April leading up to the end of April when Infinity War comes out.
Yeah, I'm excited. We got some good ideas. We got some good stuff in the pipeline for the Marvel month.
We do.
I'm super excited.
And also, we will be, hopefully, and Kevin, I guess I will talk to you about this later, but dropping an exclusive Wicked Hot Marvel t-shirt that will be an homage to our first episode of the month.
That is correct.
All right, excellent. Well, I don't know, Kevin, if you have anything else, but
nope.
I think we're all set. So, guys, stay wicked, stay hot, stay sexy. We will see you next week for the first episode of Wicked Hot Marvel.
Bye, everybody.